Hello and welcome to the 48th episode of Egg Timer Philosophy, a podcast where philosophical ideas are scrambled up in about 5 minutes. Today on the Egg Timer, we'll be considering the question, what counts as a person's body? At first, this topic might seem like it needs no discussion, as what counts as the body seems pretty obvious. But as we'll see, this is not the case. And with the proliferation of body-augmented technologies, the question will only become more complex and important. Figuring out what ought to count as a person's body is especially important to many rights-based questions within ethics and political philosophy, because the body is typically treated as setting the boundary for various types of rights. Many, for good reason, accept the idea that a person has rights against non-consensual interferences with respect to their body from other people. But critical to that right is a very clear understanding of what constitutes the body. Now, what originally intrigued me about this topic was a 1980 paper by Sam Wheeler, published in the journal Nous, entitled Natural Property Rights as Body Rights. This is a bit of a tough paper to track down, but you can find an abstract of that paper with a search on Google Scholar. In that paper, Wheeler uses a number of terrific examples to drive a sense of skepticism between a clear division between the body and the natural world. To borrow just one of Wheeler's examples, he considers the case of a person with a wooden prosthetic leg. Assume the person with the wooden leg uses their leg to function just as people with a fleshy carbon-based leg function and interact in the world. Is that wooden leg part of the person's body and treated as such from a moral standpoint? Or is it simply a piece of wood that is used to function as a leg and not subject to the same protections and rights that people have over their carbon-based legs? What if a person removed her wooden leg as she slept and placed it about 6 feet from her? And say during the night, someone chops the detached wooden leg into bits. Has the person doing the chopping destroyed a part of the person's body and in so doing violated a right of bodily property? Or have they merely cut up a piece of wood? An answer to those questions will depend upon figuring out why people plausibly have rights over their bodies. Two promising answers present themselves here. First, a person could have rights over their body because our bodies allow us to interact with the world. And if others can simply use our bodies without our permission, then our ability to interact in the world as we wish is placed in grave jeopardy. If appealing to the function of the body were the end of the story, then there seems to be no way, from a rights-based standpoint, to distinguish between a wooden leg and a carbon-based leg, so long as they are fulfilling the same function. Interfering with either would impede the ability of a person to function in the world and hence be a violation of their rights. But that might not be the end of the story. Our body parts are often attached to us in ways that produce pain and other sensation when they are used in certain ways. The nerve endings in the carbon-based leg will hit a fever pitch if someone cuts the leg, but that isn't true for the wooden leg 6 feet away from its owner. If a reason why we have property rights in our body involves pain from the use of our body, then that concern would clearly apply more to the non-consensual use of an attached body part than with the detachable body part that is not connected to our nervous system. This idea of pain could form a strong moral distinction between these two cases, but that's not entirely clear. For example, most people, I suspect, would think it would be wrong to use the attached carbon-based leg of another without their permission, even if the person cannot feel or sense such use. But if that's true, and we revert back to function, then we won't be able to conclude that chopping the wooden leg and destroying its function for the person is any less wrong than chopping at the carbon-based leg and destroying its function for the person. The function of the leg in both cases could be equivalent. Now, these concerns of the body as property, especially as pain is concerned, are only going to proliferate as advanced technologies provide people with more opportunities to augment their body in mechanical ways. The last few decades have seen tremendous strides in prosthetic technologies. And if you have a chance, do a Google search by a TED Talk by Dean Kamen, K-A-M-E-N. He has a 5-minute talk from 2009 where he highlights some amazing advancements undertaken by the U.S. military to provide very lifelike prosthetic arms and legs to soldiers who have lost their limbs in combat. These advancements are absolutely amazing. And in the next few decades, I suspect that there will be a growing trend by people to replace their normally functioning body parts with more highly functioning robotic prosthetic replacements. And these replacements will be ones that the person can feel and sense in much the same way that people feel and experience carbon-based body parts. We are getting closer to the day when you will not have to get off your couch to grab a beer or soda from the fridge. Instead, you'll just be able to push a button on your robotic arm, and your hand will scamper to the fridge and bring back your beverage for you without you ever getting off the couch. Your body will be in two places at the same time. And if someone were to accidentally step on your detachable hand as it makes its way to the fridge, your brain would feel and sense that, just as if someone had stepped on your carbon-based hand. The idea of one body in one contiguous place will go away. It's just a question of when. And given this reality, it's important for philosophers and others, especially policymakers, to start thinking now more about the rights that people have to their bodies, wherever their bodies may be. Until next time on Egg Timer Philosophy, wishing you good philosophical vibes.